pressure we put on ourselves, the expectations we hold ourselves to. As business owners, it's the way we tie our identity to the success, the failures, the ups and downs of the business. It's a desire, need to be everything to all people and an unwillingness or discomfort to set boundaries when we're trying to serve our clients. You are feeling overwhelmed, your to-do list is so long. Like, you have to hustle, and then you feel like the only way to rest and recharge is take a break, sit on the couch, watch some Netflix, and just veg.
Welcome to the Standout Business Show. I'm Brad Powell, and today we are talking about the secrets to beating burnout. So here is what I'd like you to notice, like right now. Have you been feeling a little overwhelmed lately? You know, is your work running you ragged or making you feel like you've got no time to rest or take a break? Do the things you used to enjoy doing, whether it was at home or at work, do they seem like impossible to make time for now? So if you're feeling any of that stuff, guess what? Join the club, because this could be what our new normal is starting to look like for most of us. Even if you're only feeling like you're on the very edge of overwhelm, I want you to listen up to this episode, because today's guest is executive coach Sydney DeToy, and she's going to be sharing her tricks and tips and lessons that can free you from burnout and redefine your relationship with work. So if that sounds good, stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. And with that, let's start the show. All right, Sydney, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brad. So good to be here.
Yeah, so let's talk about burnout. It's a happy topic.
Yeah.
But I also think it's super timely. The entire world is in this post-COVID recovery mode of, we don't even realize how stressful and overwhelmed we've been. We haven't really dealt with a lot of the stuff that happened to all of every one of us, that like the worldwide global experience of, oh my God, this was really not good. And so whatever you were feeling and how, whatever state of mind you were like before 3 years ago, now it's really been challenged and changed. And so there's this leading edge of burnout. It's like, yeah, life has been burning me out, feeling that it's just super pervasive. You know, no matter who you are, old, young, experienced, no experience, that just sort of like, we're dealing with that. When you look at like the landscape of humankind and human emotion and how we sort of go up and down in that stuff, what are you seeing, and how do you like relate and define to it when you're talking about burnout?
Yeah. Brad, it's such a good point about the lasting impact of the pandemic. I feel like when we got to 2023, everyone needed and deserved a 3-month sabbatical, just a full break, a full pause to regroup, to heal, to recharge. So might not be possible, but definitely I'm with you on that. The impact of the pandemic cannot be understated. When it comes to burnout, and I think what you described hit the nail on the head, there's all of these external factors, and there are things that we can be conscious of, we can point to in the world around us, and there's the macro environment of the pandemic, there's the workload, there's the people we're working with, maybe the toxic dynamics with coworkers, bosses, team members, family members. Maybe there's tasks that are burning us out. And then you said there's these things around the holidays and just pressure. And then I think there's this piece that is understated or underappreciated, and that's what's going on internally with our mindset. And it's the pressure we put on ourselves, the expectations we hold ourselves to. as business owners, it's the way we tie our identity to the success, the failures, the ups and downs of the business. It's a desire, need to be everything to all people, and an unwillingness or discomfort to set boundaries when we're trying to serve our clients, we're trying to push a new product out into the world. And so I think the most important thing before we can tackle our self burnout is to recognize that there's these external factors, and then there's a lot of internal dynamics going on, and those two come together to create this lovely compounding effect of burnout.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to our work life, I feel like throughout all the different work situations that I've been in, especially the ones that I've been that are of my own making, you know, my own business that I created, I have come to the edge of burnout struggling with not, you know, totally getting knocked over and ending up in that toaster burn. I mean, I've been there, and I could easily go there again, is the way it feels like. And being in that place of like, oh my gosh, I just don't think I can do this anymore, that sort of heavy feeling, and that the relationship that you have with the tasks that are before you put you in a form of misery. Like, you're just miserable.
Yeah.
You're like, how did I get here, and how do I get out of it? And, or it feels like there's no way to get out of this. Like, I'm really trapped. That feeling of being stuck and trapped and in misery, that pain, it's very painful. And so I want to sort of approach this from two directions. One is, there are people who are in that place right now.
Yeah.
And so there's some things that they can do, hopefully, that will help them move out of that state of being. But for most of the rest of us, we're in this more middle ground of, it could happen to any one of us. We could be closer than we think to burnout. And so there's more of a maintenance mode of, what can we be doing so that, first of all, we recognize the symptoms, and then when we do go, oh yeah, I, you know, like, don't step on that third rail because you'll burn out. Like, what are the third rails that people should be watching out for?
Yeah. I'm feeling the response, because I do think so many of us are in this, like, so close on the edge of burnout. I think that it may be counterintuitive, but one of the things that I suggest to people is get a passion project, get something that you are so excited to do that you just can't stop. And there's always this hesitation when you are feeling overwhelmed, your to-do list is so long, you are just feeling so incredibly like you have to hustle, and then you feel like the only way to rest and recharge is to take a break, sit on the couch, watch some Netflix, and just veg. And so you're probably listening to me say, like, get a hobby, get a passion, do something, and absolutely cringing, saying, I absolutely cannot do anything more. And the reason I say that is because having a hobby or a passion does a couple of things. It gives you purpose outside of work. So it gives you another place to focus your extra mental energy. It gives you a level of satisfaction and fulfillment, and bolsters your self-worth. So your self-worth is not so tied up in the highs and lows of your business or your job. And then it's going to also naturally replenish your energy. And so it's going to be like this, like you're on low battery, you plug your phone into one of those high powered superchargers. It's going to give you an immediate bolt or shock that's going to balance out some of the drains that you're feeling in your day-to-day life if you just are doing work and then trying to just chill or rest outside of work. Got other tips, but I think that's the number one that I would start with.
Yeah, well, I really like the idea. I would even put it in the context of, rather than think of it as a hobby or a project, just finding something fun that you just really like doing.
For pleasure. Yeah.
You know, like for me, I like riding my bike and I do it as often as I can, as long as the weather allows. And I like dancing for quite a while. I used to go to this samba, Brazilian samba class, and it just happened once a week on a Saturday. It was a form of working out, you know, it was good exercise, but it never felt like a workout. Like it was just totally fun. And I honestly think that the Brazilians have a secret that the rest of us need to learn, which is when you do this movement, like it's your hips going sideways and up and down and all around like this. It's kind of like you've taken your body and you've pulled the string on a top, and the top is just going ring, like this, you know, and it's just doing this for like an hour and a half. And when you do that, like, and it's in your core, in your middle, you come out of it just going, oh my gosh, like I could just float around like this for, you know, the next 2 weeks. Like you just come out with this big smile on your face and you feel totally energized. No matter what I was feeling when I woke up on Saturday mornings, I would come away from this class just on a super natural body high.
So funny that you talked about dance, Brad, because I used to, for the entirety of 2022, I went to a dance class every Tuesday morning. And I had absolutely no attachment to being good at it, to following along, just let myself truly, truly be in the moment. And there was something that was so, so freeing about not having to worry about being excellent or being perfect or even mastering something in the way that I do in my professional life, but truly just be in the moment and appreciate the movement and have a little fun. So dance, definitely one of them. Apparently dance is a number one tip for people listening to this morning. I also am an avid reader, and I really give myself permission to read just pure indulgent fiction. So I think I've read 30 or 35 books this year, and they're romantic comedies, romance novels, historical fiction, anything that just gives me real ability to just escape, let my imagination, my creativity wander. And then I have been an aspiring intermediate yogi for many, many years now. And so love to make sure I'm doing regular yoga classes to, again, just move my body, give myself time to do something different. Some classes learn some new skills, other classes just be in the practice. And then one thing I'm really looking forward to this winter and I need to seek out is taking pottery classes, which has been this hobby pursuit I've had at very different periods of my life. I've never really gotten that good, but I'm really excited to just put my hands in the clay and see what I'm able to create and not really have any attachment to it.
All right. Well, these are things like pick anything.
Yeah.
So pick something and go
do
it.
Yeah, totally. It could be anything.
Just see what it's like. But let's break it down into even simpler pieces, in the sense of there's lots of folks, you know, we are in our working environment, say, and a lot of that is very much dictated by the nature of the work. So there's going to be periods of time where you are working or you're supposed to be working. And given the nature of the structure of work as it's been handed to us, you know, we're talking 9 to 5. And in a lot of corporate culture, and even in startup and in all the hustle culture mindset of the Gary Vaynerchuk followers of the world, the badge of honor is to be putting in like 80 hours a week or more. And it's like, yeah, you know, we drank a lot of Red Bull and stayed up all night and we, you know, got this project out the window. And that's like, we're so great. We have the most amazing team. And if you're not on board with that, with that energy, whether it's real or manufactured by Red Bull or not, you know, that's kind of the direction that most, like the majority, it feels like, of people who are, in terms of their expectations, are expected to perform. This is like the level, the standard.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in the camp of totally the other direction. It's like, you know, pace yourself. I've read a lot about how productivity, you know, we're actually way more productive if we spend just 4 hours a day doing the performing part of our work and spend a bunch of other time in complete recovery mode, like just like don't work, go do something else, like what we're just talking about. So what are you suggesting to people like your clients around how to pace themselves and try as much as they can to remove themselves from this lockstep? You must be here. You must sit in your chair and stare at your screen for umpteen hours a day.
Yeah. So it's such a good question. And I also want to say there's just going to be some environments where that just is the expectation and there's nothing that you can do in terms of setting boundaries, changing your mindset. And so sometimes you just need to change your environment. Extreme examples. When that's not the case, and with the majority of my clients, there's so much more they can do before changing their environment. First thing I would say is do an energy audit. So really look at everything that you do over the course of the day and categorize it by what gives you energy, what feels neutral, and what drains you. Do more of what gives you energy, keep what's neutral, and get rid of what drains you. And I think there's always this resistance to, oh, well, I can't, this is my job. I can't get rid of what drains me. And whether you're in a corporate environment or running your own business, you always have more flexibility and more agency than you think. In a corporate environment, have the conversation with your boss, say why this is draining to you, why it's so exhausting, ask to move it to someone else. If you are the boss, delegate it to someone. And then if you own your own business, hire someone to do some of that lower value draining work. So number one is the energy audit. Number two is pay attention to your energy over the course of a day or a week. And if you are super energetic and motivated in the morning, find ways to do your most important work in the morning. If that for you is late at night, find ways to do that late at night and really hack your energy so it's working for you, not against you. And don't assume that your energy is at the same level from 9 to 5, morning to night, Monday to Friday. It really evolves over the course of the week, and it's so personal to people. And then I would say set a boundary and get comfortable saying no or requesting that you do something differently. If you set even one boundary a week, so say you really want to make sure that you can make a 5 p.m. yoga class every Thursday night, or you want to make sure that you can drop your kids off at school every single Friday morning. If you can do one thing for yourself that you're choosing, that you're setting a boundary around at least once a week, it will do wonders for how you feel about having control and time to invest in your priorities. So energy audit for your tasks, working with and leaning into the way that your energy flows over the course of the week, and then figuring out how to set at least one boundary to give you a little bit more feeling of agency and control.
Yeah, I really like the setting boundaries part. That's just critical and super smart. So tell me a story. This could be your own story or it could be someone that you've worked with of like, they were in this place and this was the big challenge that they were facing. And so somebody was in the toaster. They'd been in there too long. They're starting to get beyond the golden brown to that charcoal black color. You're going, oh no, this is not good for me. And so how did they like pop up and get out of that toaster?
Yes. So we're starting to smell the burnt toast warning smell. Yeah. So one of my clients, I think this is such a good example. She is a manager at a big consulting firm. She spent a decade building her career to be a consultant. She's feeling so burnt out and assumed it was because of the high workload, high pressure consulting environment. So basically just kind of made the common assumption that we all do that burnout is driven by high workload. As soon as we started working together and started digging in, we realized that the high workload was burning her out a little, but really it was the function she was doing. And she didn't have a natural aptitude for the core consulting skill set, like research and drawing conclusions, drawing analysis. And it didn't mean she was bad at her job. It just meant those activities really drained her and took a lot of effort for her to do well. And what we learned is she was really great at relationship building. She was really great at connecting with people, making them feel seen. And she loved building off of people's ideas. And so armed with the things that drained her and the things that she loved, she made a pretty immediate decision to switch from a client-facing consulting project to a much lower-paced internal project to give her a chance to breathe and just pause. And now she's looking for roles that are really allow her to leverage her strengths and do executive level facilitation. And so I think it's just a really lovely example of burnout is not always what you think, or what's driving burnout is not always what you think at the surface level. It can be something much deeper, like a fundamental mismatch with the work that you're doing. And once you have that information, you can really start to make changes that just make you feel so much better and open up so much potential for you in terms of energy and then being able to really work from and flourish using your strengths.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. There's all these things where we had experience of doing stuff literally makes us thrive. You know, like we find ourselves in this setting, and it's like, oh, I would do this even if I didn't get paid for it, kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other stuff that when we do it, we're just going, I hate doing this. this just, it's like pulling teeth. I have to force myself to do this particular job. And while all the time that you're doing it, that's what's going on in your head. And so none of it is a good experience. And yet that's a lot of that is in our subconscious. So we're not necessarily really thinking about it. We're not really, you know, that's that aware. So having this, you know, doing a little exploration of creating that self-awareness of like, what are the settings in my current situation where I'm just lovely? Like, I just feel this is why I'm here. And then what are the things where I'm feeling like, I got to get out of here. I have to stop doing this. This is driving me nuts. And literally moving and leaning into those things where, you know, you're going to be great. Like you're going to be the best that you can be. And which is a way I think of, you know, turning whatever job you have into being your dream job. Like if you can make that happen, you don't have to move. You don't have to change horses at all. You just need to love the parts of the horse that, you know, that love you back.
I know. And how I want that energy, that experience for all of us. And it's so possible. It just takes some intention, exploration, and then really going after it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is actually, I think, a really good note for us to close on because we're at the end of our time together this morning. This has been a terrific conversation. I think it's super needed. If you have been listening to this, go back and listen to it again. It'll do you some good. Like there's definitely some nuggets in here that you can take. Go join your local dance class. It's really hard. It's really hard to be feeling blue or depressed or overwhelmed or anything while you're jumping around in a dance room.
100% dance is the solution to burnout.
All right, Sydney. Well, if somebody's inspired by this and they would like to reach out to you and find out more, what's the best way for them to do that?
Thanks for asking. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I write about topics of burnout 5 days a week, all different angles, and it's a fun community to be part of.
All right. Well, I'll make sure that links to your LinkedIn page are in the show notes. And Sydney, thanks so much for coming on today. This has been great.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Brad.
Everyone is publishing content online, but very few are showing up authentically. So we created the Authenticity Code Masterclass to help you find the key missing ingredient to creating a compelling brand.
So everybody has a way that they fascinate people. And the through line on all of this is really knowing yourself, your authenticity, your values, your strengths, and communicating that. So
that's Eva Chen. She's a branding expert who spent the past 20 years working for Fortune 500 companies. And she is joining me in this masterclass.
So branding is communication and perception. What do I offer that is making an impact, solving a problem? The personal branding part is kind of like peeling off of layers, because genius, everybody's a genius. Genius, the defined, is really your natural intelligence that isn't interfered with. And most of the times we've gotten interference. And so that's why, like, the first step of finding a calling is...
Join us on Wednesday, January 17th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, and learn how to bake what makes you unique into everything you offer, and discover how creating a more authentic brand makes marketing a whole lot easier.